Peyton.
I'm Trent Hurd.
This is for our Sociology 318 class, and today we're here with Ms. Lang Dong. Thank you again for taking time out of your busy schedule to help us with this project. We really, really appreciate it for the second time. Could you just start off by telling us your full name, age, and where you're originally from?
My full name is Lang Dong, and I'm originally from China. My age? I just turned 40.
And what part of China are you from?
It's called, why am I looking at it? It's called Sichuan Province. It's kind of in the central west in China, geographically.
What year did you come to the U.S. and how old were you at the time?
I came to the U.S. in 2008 for the first time. I stayed for a year in Pennsylvania. The recent time was from 2012, January 2013 till now. And I stayed in, Harrisonburg.
And how old were you at that time?
That was 2013, so 5 years younger than now, 35.
So when coming to like America, what were some of the struggles you had to go through with regards of getting actually to the States?
You mean through the immigration process?
Yes, exactly.
So when I was in China, my husband and I, we had to start my immigration process half year before the time that we booked a ticket to come over here. So that took over half a year to just get all the paperwork done and enable me to come over.
And did you
from meet that's the China side happened. Yeah.
And so, did you meet your husband in China or did you meet him in the States?
I met him in China.
Okay.
That kind of answers the question, but was it a personal decision for you to come to the US or did someone, I'm assuming your husband, or something influence this move?
It is a personal decision, and also it involved my husband's input to make that actually happen. Traveling the world, always a dream for younger me back then. And I had traveled other countries overseas before I came to the States. So that seemed to be a right timing for me to come over.
So what was your biggest concern about coming to the States? Was it like leaving your family, not knowing how to speak English, or learning a new language, or what was your biggest concern?
I think it includes all those aspects. Being away from family for a long time, that was a concern. Because I had a very close relationship with my family. Also, the language, I did not worry about language too much, but it was there because, language is the main way of communication, and living a different culture that requires a lot of communication.
And how familiar were you with English-speaking language? Did you speak any English while you were in China, or did you have to learn that on the fly?
For me, overall in China, kids have to take an English class. Back to my time was from middle school, and for today's kids, they start even early, to learn English. So before I came, I had some good vocabulary back then. The one thing that I really have to work on was actual talking, speaking.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, using that language as a way to verbally communicate with people. So I was pretty good at read and write, but the listening and the speaking part that I had to, I realized later that was harder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now I know when people learn another language, everything is really proper. Because America has a lot of slang, a lot of different ways of people saying things. How hard was it for you to learn the different slangs or the different lingos that people say, and depending on where you live too?
Speaking slangs or lingos is still difficult for me, because those things you don't get without the language environment, outside of that culture. So I did not know much of the slangs before I came, and I could not understand what people mean when they imply those in their talking. So yeah, that I think that's a challenge for me as a second, or you know, as someone who speaks English as a second language.
And you mentioned that Pennsylvania was the first place you moved to. What brought you to Harrisonburg?
Harrisonburg. So, well, my husband he found a job in Harrisonburg, so that's why we came here.
And do you like Harrisonburg? Do you think it's pretty culturally diverse here? Or how do you like living in a place like Harrisonburg?
I didn't know much about Harrisonburg before I came. I guess gradually, I am very impressed with the welcoming atmosphere, and also I like the part of diversity the culture diversity, also the groups of people from all over the world. It has been a learning experience for me to, living here comparing the 1 year I lived in Pennsylvania. I feel like there's more new things going on in Harrisonburg. Mm-hmm.
So Harrisonburg calls themselves like the friendly city. Did you find it to be more friendly than it was in Harrisonburg or in Pennsylvania, or just different?
I guess here. I have a bigger circle of friends or acquaintance here in Harrisonburg, because I had more opportunities to meet people, and also more opportunities to be exposed to different cultures like Hispanic culture and also Arabic culture. But I didn't have those opportunities when I was in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I agree. It is quite friendly. The neighbors came to say hi to us second day we moved here. Community is being very supportive, and especially when the time's in need.
Mm-hmm.
They cook meals for us when I delivered my daughter. And people brought meals to us.
So I guess the question I'm about to ask you, it should, I guess, be a positive one. So when you came to Harrisonburg, or whether it's Pennsylvania or Harrisonburg, how do you think you were treated as like an Asian or like a minority? Because I know there's a lot of backlash between minorities and the majority because of things that may have happened. For example, like after 9/11, there were a lot of Muslims that were getting hated upon due to their race and ethnicity. Because of what someone else did. Did you feel any of that when you were in Pennsylvania or Harrisonburg?
That might be okay.
Many sad things has happened to people from minority or from different background based on their racial differences. Personally, I haven't encountered any those hostile or unfriendly behavior toward my race or where I come from. So I guess I'm just lucky.
Now, do you face any of those stereotypes, I guess, people have put around Asians? Asians have, I guess, small eyes, or Asians are really smart, or have you faced any of those stereotypes?
Yeah, I heard people talk about those stereotypes in a joking way. I don't see those, I don't experience that with adults, but I did hear those stereotypes from my students here in public schools. Yeah, they would be brave to come over to ask me those questions, do all Asian people, have this kind of eyes? Or, people tend to have those stereotypes, such as Asians are good at math. They work hard. They work a lot harder than kids here. So, but not everybody. So that's not true to everyone. And I did I did get to answer those questions.
I know we talked last time about how you're in like the public school system and a teaching aide. Was that your first job coming to Harrisonburg, and did you do that in Pennsylvania as well?
That's what I did in Pennsylvania through a volunteer program. But in Harrisonburg, my first job was at very entry level. I work at a cafe, so like food service.
Mm-hmm.
So I serve and I prepare food and for the customers. And
where was that?
That was Above Good, if you know. It's a local restaurant. Above Good. It's on Mount Clinton Pike near EMU.
Oh.
Not far from here.
Did you feel that as an immigrant, would you have, I'm going to rephrase this question, would you have gone straight into teaching? Do you feel like coming in from a new place, if you were not an immigrant, do you feel like that had any effect on you having to get like an odd job before you got back into your teaching?
I feel that way. I think that's true in my case, because I was a middle school teacher in China before I came. I see that as a more professional job than those entry level job. But after coming here, I sense there's a gap for me to go straight back to a professional job without any further training or certificates to prove that I am qualified to do those things. So I had to go through the system to, to have those paperwork to show. So that takes time and takes money to go through the training process. I had to go back to school, take classes to be able to be where I am at now.
So even though you were just as qualified, if not more, and were doing essentially the same thing, you felt you had to still prove yourself, even though you had a great job in China and in Pennsylvania. Is that what?
Yeah, I think so. I think here in the States, for people to accept you, especially academically, we as immigrants, we have to show people that we know what they need and we can provide that. So we have to really prove that for people here, before they hire us. I feel that way.
Now, how hard was it for you to go through that process? I know like going through the immigration process was hard, you know, deal with a lot of paperwork. How hard was it for you to Claire said it, to prove yourself and get through like that system of like proving yourself to become like a teacher in America?
How hard that is?
Mm-hmm.
It definitely requires time and finance. I think for younger people, might be easier when you're younger, when you immigrate at a younger age, because you don't have family, you don't have other obligations to fulfill, so you could be more focused.
Mm-hmm.
At my age, like we had a not difficult time, but quite a stressful to get back on track. I never wanted to just work on those entry level jobs. I want my career back. So just have to cross those hurdles and to put work into it.
How often do you go back home to visit family and friends?
We go back almost every summer for about a month, to see my family and friends there.
And I know, like, going overseas, especially China, it's really expensive and, it's a lot of work and going through that process. Is there ever a time where you feel like it's become too much to go back every summer? Or is there a time where they've came over here to come visit you?
It is expensive to make that trip. For many families, they don't have that fortune to do this. We don't have that much money to do this, but we prioritize. We do our best to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to cut some other costs and to make sure we can go back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is more expensive.
I know last time we were here, you mentioned that you're actually permanently moving back. Is there, like, a reason other than, like, family that that's going to be put in motion soon? Or is it mainly because you miss your family and you want Ella to grow up around?
No. Well, we're not moving back permanently, but we are moving back for a certain amount of time. Like, we're looking at for 3 or 5 years to live back, just to be with family. And yeah, it's older I grow, more I realize, you know, family is very important, and that would be one thing in my bucket list, on my bucket list. So yeah, we're gonna to do it rather than later.
So coming over to the States, has your family ever wanted to come visit the States, or have they ever wanted to see, like, the big cities like New York or D.C.? Like, have they ever been interested in coming to do any of that stuff?
We did invite my family come over. They showed interest coming over, but in reality, the visa is always a struggle to get it. Yeah, to get that done. So, unfortunately, my family did not pass the visa interview. That was a lot of work, and it cost money to do that. So for my mom, as a traditional Chinese woman, that was not a pleasant experience for her. So she does not want to try again. Speaking of sightseeing in bigger cities, China is quite big. And some areas are very developed, so I don't. That's not a big drive for my family to come over. I think just be with family. That's the main reason why we want to be there or here.
So, like, I guess, like, a big thing, America is like the land of immigrants. You know, let all the immigrants in or whatever. But as you said, like, it's hard to get a visa to come visit the States, even to come for vacation. Why do you think it's easy for Americans to get a passport and visit any country they want on vacation, but it's hard for anyone to come visit the United States for a vacation?
Well, there's a word called privilege. So Americans are, if we say it more precisely, are American white people. They possess, I don't know who gave them that power, but the world somehow worked that way. They think, they are rich, highly educated, and also, I think, the money. That's why the countries are competing each other to be rich, and they have more say at the global stage. I think it's right now still U.S. still one of those one of those who has strong voice internationally. So for Americans, they had those diplomacy policies with other countries. So they have those privileges. They can just go there without visa.
Now, do you think, like, the citizens of the United States are the reasons why the visas are so strict, or do you think it's more of, like, with regards to, like, national security is the reason why they don't want to give out that many visas?
Well, the immigration process or policies are very restrict, and they put that, they say that's because of security. They want to protect homeland, people who live here. They don't want to let any dangerous people come over, to cause damage here. But I personally think it is the nation's duty, job to, take care of their citizens, to make sure they're living, their life is safe here. And also, I disagree on some policies that this country have been carrying on. Because I see they have more restriction on people who are from developing areas, developing countries, from different religious background. So I see, since the system has put people in a place that they are not worth of trusting, whoever comes, we have to decide. So it's not up to people who want to come over this country to prove they're good people or not. It's like up to the states, up to the government or U.S. government to say you're good, so you come. You're not good. So like people even have no chance to defend it for themselves. So
mm-hmm.
they are sentenced by the government,
right.
the U.S. government. Yeah.
Something you said last time that I found very interesting was that you said you feel that it, and not just you, obviously, I feel the same way, but immigrants are guilty until proven innocent, when the whole thing that America's like judicial system is innocent until proven guilty. I thought that was really interesting.
Yeah.
That, you just put that into words because it's clearly true. You have to go through months and months of paperwork when you've done nothing wrong. And you have every right to be here as anyone else. Not to completely change the subject, but what was your impression of, like, America? Like, what did you think life in America was going to be like before you ever came? Like, before you'd ever seen it for yourself?
I guess before you go anywhere, it's hardly need to have the full picture before you had the first-hand experience. Because I haven't thought I would be able to get to know people from, you know, Middle East that far, or get to know people from Africa, or get to appreciate the Native American culture and African culture here. So those experiences happened after I came. So before I came, I couldn't imagine this. I think the U.S., the country is more diverse than I used to know. And also the life here, I used to think, you know, oh my goodness, don't do that, don't write that in your paper.
We're going to take it out, don't worry.
All right, Bao Bei, 去给莫文擦屁股。 You heard it.
I did, oh my gosh.
Yeah,
that's
dear.
Serious business.
And I didn't realize how big the race issue, yeah, before I came, and also the gender issue. So in China, I mean, maybe people never talk about it, and it seems like nothing like what's happening here.
So how do they portray, I guess, Americans in America in China? Because I know how, like, a lot of the Americans now portray, you know, China and, like, Chinese people as, like, oh.
Like, on TV shows, they'll be, like, a really smart one. And
yeah.
I'm just wondering if, like, in America, it's, like, we're, like, fat ones or, like, dumb ones. Or, like, how it's portrayed in other countries.
Definitely the size is much bigger. I had one, so I just suddenly forgot. Americans. Violent. The states, the country is not safe because everybody can bear arms.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not safe. So also, maybe due to the government influence, people tend to think that these two countries, or at least governments, are not friendly with each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like American government.
American and Chinese, the two countries always in competition.
Mm-hmm.
Because the history, Chinese people always, and the government always want the Chinese people to know about the history, how badly Chinese people were treated by, by Western countries. So there's not a very friendly view toward U.S. government. But since the exchange has been, the people who not Americans, work and live in China and made China their home, so people see the both sides, the friendliness in American people, but also the aggressiveness in America.
And that's not—it's not incorrect. Like there is so much gun violence here, and it's so significantly greater than anywhere else that it would make sense to have that in like other people's perception of America.
So the mom, I'm sorry. So my mom, over phone, my mom would ask me, "Oh, I heard this on news. You know, the shooting at school or people in the got shot. So how's the place you're living?" I said, "Oh, this is a we live at a safe place. We don't even lock the door. You know, it's safe." So because people not interested to see the whole picture.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the same would happen to American people, how they view China or Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they probably know. There's no way to find out the whole story. But people take those pieces because media portrays or emphasis on those things.
Mm-hmm. And is that how they portray Americans in like China? Is that as like Americans being, or Americans and or America being like the violent country that has a bunch of like shootings and killings and stuff like that. Is that how America's portrayed in China?
Yeah, the violence is definitely one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And also, while people admire how well the nature is reserved, like the national parks,
mm-hmm.
you know, the work that government has done to protect nature.
Mm-hmm.
So people are aware of that too. So it's a beautiful country with violence and racial problems there. Mm-hmm.
Now working, we understand that you work in a school, so kind of going back off the same question I asked
mm-hmm.
you before, are you ever like, what are your views on like the whole bare arm thing and able to defend yourself, or like kind of connecting that to like, you know, the school shootings and stuff like that? What's your kind of your stance on that? As someone who didn't grow up in America.
Oh, well, I definitely support gun control or completely ban gun purchase.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you talk about self-defense, when you have a gun, it's not self-defense. That's killing. Because there's no other... either you die or the other person dies. So it's life or death. And also, you know, for people who do not carry guns or people who do not believe in that kind of self-defense, then they put themselves in the vulnerable place as students at school. Binny, 这样不可以，你去爸爸那边。 你可以听，但是你不可以在这里打断我，干扰我。你可以坐在这里，安静的坐在这里。 Yeah, I just don't see why. I know before the Constitute founded or the founding fathers, they put that in there to, you know, to prevent we have like dictator, right? A government that or slave people, or so they have the arms to fight back for democracy and rights. But now people are not using guns for those purposes.
This is much less controversial, but how have you incorporated your Chinese culture into your home and lifestyle here in Harrisonburg?
Hello.
Chinese culture is I realize it's under my skin. I know I'm Chinese, no matter where, I mean, wherever I will be, I always be Chinese. And also I have adapted to a new environment, and I see myself has grown into a person who has extended capacity to embrace all difference in cultures. So in this house, we cook Chinese food and we appreciate Mexican food. So we have a diversity of foods. We keep our language. I speak to my daughter in Chinese. I scold her in Chinese.
Only sometimes. Not that she needs it.
I feel like she's needing more now. And we celebrate Chinese holidays here.
So have you brought any like what's the word? I guess decor, like into your home. That's like traditional, like Chinese. Like, do you have any like flags or like pieces or anything that just when you see it, it's just a little piece of home.
For instance, that China knot in red. That's one of the symbol. No, for happiness, for good luck. Yeah, we do not keep national flag. That's a different. It's very different from America. You like to, you know, fly your flag in front of your house. People do that, but in China, we feel like flag is more like government thing. We do not. Yeah, we don't fly our flag in front of our house, but we keep some small traditions. Chinese people will get together, yeah, for some special occasions. Did I answer that question? I kind of get distracted.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that, because like I know like America is big on like promoting the flag. You see the flag everywhere, swim trunks, like, stickers on the back of cars, like flags in people's houses.
It's like a
decoration.
It's almost like a poster.
Yeah. So why do you think that's different in America than like, I guess like the Chinese people don't really promote the flag like Americans promote it here? Because American flags on everything, clothing.
No.
So why do you think that's different? Is it maybe the patriotism or like
it's
patriotism?
Patriotism is everywhere in, I mean, all countries they promote that or they try to. China also does the same thing. We just never associate that with flag. Yeah, it's interesting. And here flag is everywhere. And yeah, and also maybe the type of governance, like here is the election. Well, we have election there, but it's not the same here.
Mm-hmm.
So people feel the distance from ruling the country.
They
but
feel like
here, the government making decisions, not us people. But here, maybe people feel strongly about, you know, they are involved in the politics, the decision making. They are electing the leaders, but there we do not elect leaders. So maybe that's.
Is there something that you found like really weird or like funny or just like really different about American culture than you thought it was going to be, or like different than Chinese culture, like for example like parenting or like the school system, or something that you just found like funny that we do, or like that seems weird?
Things people do that I hear and I think weird. More. 我觉得你不要待在这里，你影响我。 OK， 请你离开好吗？请你离开。 Weird. I would not say things are weird. But they're just different. I haven't feel like weird in a weird way.
Can you give an example of something that is just like different or just something that you weren't expecting?
Oh, I can take my work setting as an example, like the relationship between students and teachers. So here students are treated. Papa, you can please take Mo Wen. I think he's not obedient. Beanie, you're not helping me stay focused. You distract me. That now Claire has to ask me the same question again because I did not remember it. So, 请你离开好吗？你去爸爸那里，把笔还给别人。走了，木安。 Well, in China, we still spank kids.
I definitely got spanked as a kid. I was definitely not as cute as she is, though. So.
Yeah. She's asking for that. here, students, I know in Harrisonburg, a lot of students are, you know, are from traumatized families, and they experienced traumas in their lives, so they treat it differently. But in general, here teachers treat students with, it's just, you know, it's like students, they can use, I mean, how do I word this? So my impression is students can do anything they like
mm-hmm.
at school without consequence.
Mm-hmm.
Or the consequence would not be the consequence that I'm talking about that, you know, would have the students have any sense of fear. I mean, I did not mean the negative fear. I mean the respect or honor or the consequence, at least they need to remember so next time I don't do the same thing. But here it's like they always get away from what they do.
Like you mean like talking back to a teacher saying I don't want to do this, they don't have a significant enough consequence, like
mm-hmm.
not respecting their educators?
I think yeah, that's one. And also the maybe the educational philosophy is different. So if the learning goal set there when students cannot meet the goals, and teacher would say, well, it's okay, we'll try that later. But the students never did their best. I mean, they have the potential to meet the goal, but they had all kinds of excuses not to make that happen, then there's nothing that teacher could do. Because well, in China, you know, students would say, well, this is a learning goal for today. You're gonna do your best. So they need to show their best. But if you did not meet the goal by the end of the day, for example, there may be 3 pages of math, you didn't get those problems solved, then you might stay at school till we get through this.
In China, that's what would happen?
Yeah, in China.
Until you master it?
I could call parents. Parents could come over, then we can sit there together until you get your work done.
Mm-hmm.
So that depends on if you really try your best, because teachers can... They can tell, right? They know the students, they can tell. You tried your best and you didn't meet the goal. Maybe my goal was too high than your ability, so we could lower it.
Mm-hmm.
But for some students, like they just goofy around, they didn't do their work, then you're going to stay here till you finish.
Yeah.
Or we could call your parents. Our parents is, in China, parents always unconditional cooperate with teachers.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the big difference. So I'm not surprised to see why they're, you know, that's called standard of learning,
mm-hmm.
SOL,
yeah.
Why their scores are not high at some schools. But yeah, there's also teachers feel, you know, they cannot push students like in China people, teachers did. They are afraid of the stress,
mm-hmm.
afraid of, you know, that hurt, because nowadays the suicide rate is high,
right.
You know, from pressure, stress. So afraid of that, and then teachers, they're tired, they could not, so the academic achievement is not that desirable.
So the leniency in America is a lot more, I guess, greater than it is in China. Like,
let me say that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, kids
mm-hmm.
in an elementary school now
mm-hmm.
can like pass without
mm-hmm.
doing like the bare minimum.
Because
mm-hmm. I know like when I was in elementary school, like as long as you showed up for class and did a little bit, they'd move you on to the next grade.
Yeah.
I guess like in China, they make sure you know the stuff before they move you on to
that's
the next
right,
grade.
That's right, that's right. I'm not saying that the way that China is doing with education is great. I think they're either too on that extreme.
Mm-hmm.
No, like too tight, too much work,
mm-hmm.
and kids didn't have enough free time. No, but here, it feels too loose.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Somewhere in the middle?
Somewhere
right.
in the middle.
Go ahead.
Another thing I discovered, the big difference is parenting,
mm-hmm.
Which I appreciate what I learned from here. I feel kids at a younger age, they need to learn how to think for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
I feel in China, parents kind of did the thinking for their kids, which is not very good for later on development.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Now, is there like specific customs that I guess you have either adopted, like American customs, or any Chinese customs that you brought over to America?
Because
I know my mother's Korean, and she brought over a lot of different Korean customs to our American household. Have you brought any of those over here, or have adopted any, I guess, so-called American customs?
Costume, you mean the way we dress, or traditions?
Anything you do, for instance, like my mom hates shoes in the house. So before you walk in, shoes are in like the cubby. And I see you have a cubby over there with shoes.
Yeah,
and we
yeah.
have our shoes on.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. That's okay.
Sorry.
Then that's like, I guess, like a custom that my mom's accustomed to, is making sure your shoes are off before you walk in the house.
Yeah,
so
shoes off in the house. And I guess, I personally appreciate neat. Tightness in the house,
mm-hmm.
so I'd rather, you know, things to be put away, and I often struggle with her because she's opposite. Yeah, we had more like table manners per se. But here, since that's not what people, you know, when you're a casual sitting, you don't really care the table manners or something.
Mm-hmm.
But they are, and also the respecting to the respect senior people.
Hello?
Respect who's older than you. It's a big thing that you need always be respectful,
mm-hmm.
especially to people who are older than you,
mm-hmm.
especially seniors. Yeah. So we do not call people, address people by their name. We always use title, polite title.
Like Mr. Mrs. or Doctor, like what do you mean by title?
If you were, yeah, your title, your work title.
Mm-hmm.
If you're older than me, I need to respect you by calling you older sister Claire.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, the older people call me, would use like younger sister Lynn.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like you have that family kind of relationship with people
mm-hmm.
who are not your
so
family.
So that just answered my question. I was going to say, how would I address you?
You address me older sister Lynn.
Okay.
But even though we don't have the family tie there.
That's so interesting.
But yeah, that's the way you be polite. Mm.
That's
so the politeness. Mm.
How would your life be different had you not migrated to the U.S.? And I know you were a middle school teacher, you said, in China, and you're still teaching here. Do you think you'd still be a teacher in China, maybe a different grade? Or do you think your life, maybe you would have chosen a different career path, or how do you think it'd be different?
Thanks for the question. Yeah, this is due to person's personality and also expectations for life. For me, I always welcome changes, and I like life is full of adventures. At least when I was younger. Now probably I would appreciate more stability in life. So if I never immigrate here, I might be somewhere else, and I see myself as a traveler, as a pilgrim in the world. At least when I still can move my body around,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
and I would like to keep on moving.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
You said you're a traveler. Do you think you had you not lived here, how high up do you think the U.S. would have been on your list of places you wanted to see? Because there's so many other places and so many beautiful places around the world. How do you think the U.S. would have ranked on that list?
Natural scenery. U.S. has quite a few world level, those national parks,
mm-hmm.
Yellowstone,
mm-hmm.
Great Canyon. So those places, they are worth of seeing. If I couldn't come here, I might make my trip to other place to appreciate, other
mm-hmm.
wonders of the world.
Mm-hmm. Mm. So I know a lot of questions people ask, people from other countries, is how was the food different? For instance, you're in America now and you're a Chinese woman. How is the Chinese food here different from the Chinese food served in China, or how is the Mexican food here served
mm.
the Mexican food in Mexico?
Yeah, you're
how's
not.
It, yeah, how is it different? How is it similar?
So people asked me the same question before. Chinese cuisine has a has that reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Traveled far away from China, and Chinese food here. Lots of Chinese restaurants run by people from South China called Fujian province.
Mm-hmm.
So it's typically Americanized food.
Mm-hmm.
The way of cooking is very different from real Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
And as for real Chinese food, then there could be a whole book written to talk about the real Chinese food.
Mm-hmm.
Or regions just like here, New Orleans, they have their way of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
Mexico, they have their way of cooking. There's a state called Mexico State or
Mexico City.
Mexico City, yeah. Well, no.
New Mexico.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So they're in China is the same. Different regions, they have developed their way of cooking their food.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some place they're more favor spicy, some mm-hmm. places favor sour sweet, so you get very different taste.
Okay,
yeah,
okay, so you're saying that people who start up these Chinese restaurants Americanize or kind of develop their recipes amongst where they at in the States.
Mm-hmm.
So if like New Orleans likes the spicy, the Chinese food down there may be a little bit more spicy than it was in like let's say Maine, where they kind of like a more, I guess, tart flavor. Is that what you're saying? They kind of like, I guess
adapt it to where they're
yeah,
setting up
exactly.
their restaurant.
I think so. I think the Chinese restaurants here, they have adapted the American tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But real Chinese food is very different.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I cannot describe. You have to find out.
We'll take you up on that. So finally, I know we've taken up double the amount of time we were originally supposed to, but if you could give yourself a piece of advice, knowing what you know now about the immigration progress and your life here in the States, what would it be?
So that's a question with two parts.
Mm-hmm.
Advice for the immigration process. I just wish people who work, people who in that position dealing with other people's life, but they had more mercy there. Yeah. Mm. For then the second part is that is a, what's
like
the
your
part?
Life here.
Oh,
like
my life here. Advice
yeah.
for my life here. I used to find to build a support a system for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
To find people come from same place you come from. To find people who have same interest.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have a circle or several circles for just to have a real life here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, to try not stay away from isolation. Mm. Yeah, just really need to make friends.
Okay, well once again you've been lovely to talk to, Ella. Great entertainment as always. And we really, really appreciate you letting us into your home for the second time. And we're, again, so sorry that we had to do this again. But you're very interesting to talk to.
I'm sure this time worked.
Yes,
thank
it
you
did
so
work
much.
This time.
You're welcome.
Thank you.